Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Forget your worries, throw your problems away. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Smile from the sky, so smile now. Let's celebrate.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. With Election Day approaching, voters all around the country are going to the polls. In the states where there's in-person early voting, millions have already voted and others are getting ready to vote. Coming up, we'll talk to the president of the U.S. Black Chambers. But first, this message.
Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.
We kick off today's election conversation with Ron Busby, the president of the U.S. Black Chambers. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are actively involved in the political conversation. What races are you watching closely this midterm election?
Well, the great thing about the midterms is you get an opportunity to not only look at the national view, but you also get to look at state and local elections. And so for the U.S. Black Chamber, we're interested in what's going on across the country. Obviously, there are some that are more prevalent and those that are, you know, people are getting attention to. But from our perspective, we're looking at business-friendly candidates as well as African-Americans across the country. And so for us, this is always an exciting time, and we're looking forward to what the turnout's going to be between now and next Tuesday.
When you mention African-American candidates, of course, right away we think of the three African-Americans who are Democratic candidates for gubernatorial races, Stacey Abrams, of course, in Georgia, Andrew Gillum in Florida, and Ben Jealous in Maryland. Why are those races, you think, of such national import?
Well, I think because of the significance of what could potentially happen in the House if those three African Americans win. If we can control the House, then we have at least seven high-level positions in Congress that we will take control of. In the country's history, we've never had an African-American governor in Florida or Georgia, and we will have the first opportunity to elect a governor in Maryland with Ben Jealous. And I want people to understand that all three of those candidates had a real opportunity of winning. And so for us, this is historical that not only do we have candidates running, but we have candidates that really have a potential opportunity of winning and changing the complexity of the congressional offices here in the United States as well as here in Washington, D.C.
Ben Jealous, the poll show, is trailing his opponent, the incumbent governor in Maryland, Hogan, who is considered a moderate Republican by most. But what's your message for those who have given up on Ben Jealous in Maryland?
The numbers really count in that race. There are over 200,000 Democrats, and only 2 million Democrats, and there's a million Republicans. If just the numbers themselves of Democrats come out to vote, we can win. Even if half of the registered Democrats come out to vote, we can win. And so historically, African-Americans have not gone to the polls early. And so with between now and next Tuesday, if we can just get people, African Americans, out to vote, we can win. Ben Jealous is being outspent on in this election over tenfold, but the opportunity for him to win is not a dollar count, but it really is a vote count. And so if just African Americans come out to vote and support him, we truly have a chance of having three African American governors in the United States for the first time.
So the Democrats have, according to the polls, taken charge of this midterm in a way they haven't done in a while. What do you think the strategy has been, the behind-the-scenes strategy of the Democratic Party?
Well, you and I were having a conversation, and I have this conversation a lot across the country about, is this an election against our current president? And I think a lot of folk are coming out that have never voted before because they are anti-Trump versus pro their local issues. And I think people need to understand that this is not just a gubernatorial race, but there are elections up and down the ballot that really represent our interests. And I think people need to understand that this is not just about voting for or against a governor or voting against your beliefs about what's going on in the White House, but it really is about understanding those other down ballot issues that have a huge impact on education, on what's going on in our streets, transportation, criminal issues, tax reform, immigration. And when you put all of those things in a conversation, I don't understand how anyone would not be excited about voting this time. And I think that's why the numbers are so high, because I think for the first time in a long time, African Americans are not only just excited about it, but are also interested in the perspective that how it can change their local communities.
So are you predicting a blue wave?
I think we have a good opportunity of a blue wave, especially in the House. And we're excited that when we look at even states like Texas, we have people that are coming out to vote. When you look at places like Utah and Minnesota, states where we lost, like Philadelphia, Michigan, in the presidential elections, are now understanding that votes do matter and that there's repercussions for not voting. So I don't know if it's going to be a blue wave, but it will definitely be a wave, and I definitely think that African Americans are going to come out in historic numbers this year from a midterm that we've never seen before.
So what I hear you saying, and help me if I've missed the mark, since 2016, and you were involved in the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign, there has been an awakening of a sleeping giant. Is that a bit of a reach, or is that spot on in terms of Democrats voting?
Yeah, I think it's spot on. I think a lot of people in the 2016 election from across the board, from women to young adults to both minority communities, African-American, Hispanic, as well as the GLBT community, may have voted their party in the past, whereas I think now people are truly understanding that it's not about party as much as it is about principle and policy. And so folk that have historically either not voted or voted just because historically they voted Republican or historically they voted Democrat are now truly educating themselves and saying, okay, wait a minute, I need to understand what and who I'm voting for. And so from that perspective, yeah, I think that the Democrats have a better candidate in many cities. And I think that we also have issues that are pertinent to reestablishing our communities. As I say, yeah, I'm all about making America great again now, especially I want to see what we had in 2016. So I'm all about MAGNA as well.
Ron Busby, president of the U.S. Chamber, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And I will say this, making America great again means in order for that to happen, we need a great black America. And in order for there to be a great black America, we need great black businesses. And so I ask your listeners to make sure that they get involved, but also understand that we vote every day with our dollars and to make sure that we're supporting black businesses supporting black banks, supporting black issues across the country. Thank you so much for having us.
And we'll be right back.
Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.
Honey, did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to USBlackChambers.org.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. Joining us in the last few days of this midterm election cycle is the founder, co-founder of Black Americans for the President's Agenda, Vernon Robinson. Mr. Robinson, thank you for being with us. What's your group's mission?
Our mission is to inform black voters of the horrendous past history of the Democratic Party, as well as the current policy problems, the variance which most black voters are versus what the Democratic Party's policies are, in order to make sure that voters are aware of the president's agenda of life, as in Black Babies Matter, school choice, educational opportunities, Black Students Matter, jobs, economic prosperity, expansion of wealth, securing the borders in the United States, and ending birthright citizenship, or at least having the legitimate interpretation of the 14th Amendment applied, and saving the black tellers from extinction, because if we continue to have huge amounts of illegal immigration from the South, then black tellers will disappear altogether. And finally, safe families matter, as in let's make sure that black voters can defend their families with the Second Amendment. So that's what that's what the agenda is. Oh, and the president's been pushing criminal justice reform, and so that was added.
The president has been pushing criminal justice reform. This, you're talking about the same president who's also a fan of stop and frisk?
Well,
which disproportionately affects African Americans. So my question specifically
that almost
is, how do you
always happens
some of the president's statements and his actions with respect to African Americans, the birther movement that he almost single-handedly initiated, the remarks about African countries, his history of discrimination and housing in New York in the 1970s, how can you say that this president is one who fights for African Americans?
Well, clearly,
or that his policies benefit.
Clearly, Jared Kushner is pushing his father-in-law's agenda with regard to criminal justice reform. Otherwise, the woman who was in jail for life for a drug sentence would not be out.
That's one person.
Yeah, but there's dialogue going on.
Has there been any new legislation?
The senior judiciary committee members, including Tim Scott and Chairman Grassley, have been talking about this. And, personally, my worst day as an elected official, because I served 8 years as vice chairman of public safety, was when I had to sit through a hearing where a guy had been sent to, got a life sentence for a rape and murder, and the DA and or the police department was sitting on exculpatory evidence, and the guy, was in jail 19 years for a crime he didn't commit. So, and even though the city paid him $7 million, he never got over it, committed suicide. So, So getting back to the president.
Let's talk about the legislation that the president decided didn't work anymore for the nation that President Obama and Eric Holder, when he was attorney general, were
The president never passed any. The only thing the president got passed was a stimulus package that didn't stimulate anything, and Obamacare was a disaster. Everything else the president did was by executive order. So
polls indicate that most Americans, not just African Americans, don't see Obamacare as a failure.
It's an absolute failure. They were promised that their costs would go down, which did not happen. It continued to escalate.
But isn't that because the Republicans and the president, this current president, have constantly chipped away at the underpinnings of the legislation? And so
when it was passed, it went up, and then it continued to go up. And the president, the prior president, lied repeatedly, saying you'd keep your doctor, which he was told by his staff that was not going to happen.
So let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
If you bring up something about untruth, when the president you're supporting, Donald Trump, is a well-known liar, and you call President Obama a liar, I just want to know
I'm just telling your listeners. I'm asking your listeners. When Obamacare was passed, did your premiums go down? And that is not true. We asked, the president said that, or the former president said, that you would keep your doctor. And I asked your listeners, were you able to keep your doctor? Were you able to keep your plan? Because virtually none of those things happened. So that's what I'm saying. And Obamacare is a disaster.
Let's move on to what we started talking about at the beginning of the interview, which is this election cycle. The Missouri U.S. Senate race is one of the most closely watched races in the country. Democratic incumbent Claire McCaskill is being challenged by Republican Josh Hawley, who is the attorney general in the state of Missouri. Your organization bought ads on urban contemporary radio stations in Kansas City and St. Louis.
Let's take a look at that political ad, the one that you aired in Little Rock, St. Louis, and Kansas City, in St. Louis and Kansas City, for the Claire McCaskill race. You aired one there that was similar. Let's listen.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
African-American voters, many of them, were offended by the ad. What's your response?
Absolutely not true. Blue-collar black voters immediately recognized that that ad was right on and that the lunatic fringe of the Democrat that runs the Democratic Party right now, pushing all accusers should be believed, is very dangerous to black men. They understand that. There are some upper-middle-class black folk who are confused and believe that they are somehow immune from all accusers should be believed. But again, I asked you before in the previous interview, should Tom Robinson's accuser be believed? He was the accuser he was the defendant in To Kill a Mockingbird. And at least in her case, that alleged victim had a witness contemporary to time, which is something that Christine Ford didn't have. So the bottom line on that ad is that it was right on target for the vast majority of black voters. I mean, I have a hard time, no one has been able to tell me what's wrong with the ad. People say, oh, it's racist, it's horrible, it's this, it's that. And you ask them, well, what's racist about it? Oh, it's racist, it's horrible, it's this and that. So the ad was right on the money. And it did damage both to the Democrat in Arkansas, too, and the to Claire McCaskill. And the other thing was that there were two other super PACs running ads in Missouri, in Kansas City and St. Louis, Stars and Stripes Forever and America's Majority. So all on Urban Contemporary Radio.
You found an audience in African Americans? You think you have found a message that resonates?
I think that there's no question that shifting the presumption of innocence to presumption of guilt is very dangerous when we discuss its potential effect on black men and the women who love us. Yes, there's no question that that was effective. The life ad that preceded was effective, and the jobs ad that followed it was effective.
What about the younger African-Americans your organization's recruiting, and now there's a movement called Blexit? Your thoughts? And Kanye West, by the way, who had been a part of this conversation yesterday, said he's distancing himself from politics and that he had been used.
A good quarter of black women under 40 believe that neither party represents their interests.
Okay, so that's neither party.
And so I can understand why large numbers of black voters might be skeptical about whether Republicans, whether the president or any other Republicans represent their interests, because the Republican Party for 60 years hasn't bothered to communicate with black voters. And one of the things that the folks at Stars and Stripes Forever and Black Americans for the President's Agenda and America's Majority PAC have been doing, in the case of America's Majority for 16 years, and in the other two cases for 6 years or so, is having stark, hard-hitting ads that clearly delineate that Republicans want to save black babies and the Democrats want to continue giving money to Planned Parenthood to kill them and sell their body parts. And
but
for
what do Republicans say about legislation that tends to be anti-lower socioeconomic based when so many African Americans are disproportionately impacted by the Republican parties?
Yeah. I'm willing to take a look at data that actually supports programs at work, but I think that your listeners understand that the war on poverty has been going on since the 60s, and instead of moving lower-income people off of poverty, it has trapped them in poverty, and quite frankly, the Democrat Party has no interest in their kids going to college, getting a degree, starting a business, and becoming a Republican. That the Democratic Party benefits from keeping black folks in poverty. The Republican Party certainly doesn't. Again, if you have a specific piece of legislation, I'll take a look at it. But, for instance, the data is clear on Head Start. It does not work. That there's no, 6-7 years down the road, there's no difference between the control group and the experimental group.
I have to disagree with you. I have to disagree with you. As a product of Head Start, that's not true.
Well, anecdotal evidence is not what is issue here.
In rural Arkansas,
what is relevant?
A Head Start.
What is relevant is what the research shows, and what the research shows is that there's no difference 6 or 7 years down the road, and so that it's a feel-good program like the Democrats always support that doesn't work. So we can talk about things that do work, like empowering parents to choose schools, but the Democratic Party is owned by the teachers union and will not allow parents to choose schools, and they will get rid of Democrats in any leadership position who advocate for parents to be able to choose schools. So, again, on issue after issue after issue, it's just that the Republicans haven't communicated what their position is. And as a result of that and the terrorist ads the Democrats have been running, like the Missouri Democratic Party ad that said, vote Democratic or another black church will be bombed. The cumulative.
And you don't think the one that you and your organization produced is suggesting that black men will be lynched?
No, what it said was white Democrats will be lynching black folk again. And
well,
that was put in there.
That
was put in there to remind folks that from 1880 to 1970, all of the black folks lynched in the United States were killed by white Democrats.
So, Mr. Robinson, here's my final question.
Yes.
We're less than a week from the election, and all around the country, millions of people are voting early, in-person early voting allowed in 33 states, and millions of others are primed and ready to vote on Tuesday, November 6th. Is this vote a referendum on President Trump?
Yeah. I don't see how you could say it's I think you could always say that the midterm election is a referendum on the administration. Sometimes maybe it's not, but certainly this one is. I mean, if the voters want to keep expanding the economy and have more money in their pocket, they should vote for the Republicans. And if they want to experiment with the failed policies of the past, they can and have jobs disappear and have taxes raised through the ceiling and punish the people who create jobs, then they should vote for the Democrats.
Thank you for joining me for our conversation. Vernon Robinson, co-founder of Black Americans for the President's Agenda.
Glad to be here.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.